Have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of... This is why Ryan runs the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Ring Post Radio. I am, of course, Scott Edwards, always here for this show. As you can tell, I'm all alone. We couldn't do the show last week, and unfortunately, Ryan is still sick. So, of course, wishing him the best today. So I'll be going solo for the first time ever here on Ring Post Radio. So wish me luck. If you're listening to this at home, I did my best. But this is all last second, so I'm kind of scrambling a little bit, but there's a lot to talk about, so we'll jump right into it. We've missed a lot, obviously. There's been a lot to talk about. We're going to talk AEW Dynasty, finally. We're going to talk WWE Backlash, the Tony Khan angle, and so much more. We're going to do our best to cover it all because there's just been so much. And hopefully, Ryan can be back next week. But there's he's dealing with the sickness, like I said. So we're wishing him the absolute best. So let's get into it. Let's talk AEW Dynasty first. Obviously, ice cold takes here. That's the way we do things here on this show. We make sure to always talk about it, but ice cold takes. Obviously, I think the show is great. I think that goes without saying. I thought the show was one of the top shows for AEW so far in their run. Like, there's just so many great matches. Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa had delivered. Obviously, Ospreay and Danielson, which receives all the praise from nearly everyone outside of anyone that obviously dislikes Ospreay. I think that was just absolutely fantastic. 32 minutes and 40 seconds. So let's go down the card here and I'll just give my thoughts. It's really weird doing the show solo, but the show must go on, especially after we missed last week. This will be a lot shorter as well, but I think when this show kicked off, the thought process was, well, yeah, this can be a great show, right? You have Okada, you have Pac, and then you have the ladder match, and you have the Ospreay and Danielson match, and then you have the big main event where everyone expects Swerve to take home the title. At least that's how I thought. And you know, that ultimately is what we got. It feels like they hit on every point they were supposed to within this show. And we'll get to the angle from Dynamite this past week. But personally, I think when it comes down to it, like this is what AEW is supposed to be at its best. It's really this show. Okada and Pac, I thought, opened the show incredible. I thought it was Okada's best match in an AEW ring so far. I think it just hit all the right levels. I think it was really just a great showing out of Pac more than anything else. Like, Okada was the perfect base for him in this match. And obviously, when you've never seen two guys face off in such a big singles match, you're a bit wary of what they can do. But they hit the level that I was hoping for. And with that, I appreciate that. You know, Okada hitting the middle finger when he goes for the Rainmaker pose, I thought that was great. And then ultimately hitting the Rainmaker. I was very confused, though, with the clapping at the end. I didn't know, for Pac, of course, I didn't know if, like, he was going away or something. It was one of those odd things where it seemed different, but it was okay. Ultimately, in the end, we'll see if he ends up coming back or not. But I'm not going to go through everything on this show because it's over a week old now, but I will do my best to go through the important parts. Of course, you know, we saw Malakai Black pin Adam Copeland, which is of course to set up the eventual title match there. That was the match itself was fine. Will Nightingale defeated Julia Hart in 6 minutes and 1 second to win the TBS title. I don't think that was anything right out of the blue. Like, I think everyone expected that to happen. My whole gripe with it is that Will should have just been champion 2 months ago, like, especially with the idea that Mercedes Moné is likely to return and win this belt. I would have just liked they done it 2 weeks ago. That's just me, but it's okay. Because I do like the story they're going with now, as we've seen, whether it be on TV or here. Mercedes is continuously ruining the moment for she's continuously ruining the moment for Willow Nightingale. And I think that's a great story to play with, because you would assume ultimately that when we get to the big match at Double or Nothing, it will be Mercedes winning that belt and taking away what, of course, was the moment for Willow, right? She finally gets a title in AEW and it's taken away by Mercedes. And hopefully you work that down the line. Maybe Willow feuds with Chris and then gets back to the top. And then, you know, Mercedes can finally go for the world title. But I do like that story, and that's kind of hoping where this is going. Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, you know, they... they had a good job as well. Very physical, very hard hitting, kind of what you would expect from these two. That was kind of my thinking here. Like, I think they hit a very high, and had there not been like the weird Wardlow thing at the end, because this match ended clean, I think it would have been even highly, or even more highly regarded. Also, this was a tough show to stand out, right? So that's kind of my feeling towards it as well. But a very good match nonetheless. Chris Jericho versus Hook stunk. Awful. Terrible match. Awful. None of this was redeeming to me. Everything about it was terrible. Like, I could not stand this match. Hated it. Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa. Way better than expected, right? Since Thunder Rosa's come back, I don't know if we've necessarily seen the breakouts that we expect, but she was very good in this match, as was Toni Storm, who has flipped that switch since the Ozmi match. So I'm going to give Ozmi a lot of the credit for, you know, getting the best version of Tony out, because now it is showing up each and every match. Will Ospreay defeating Bryan Danielson. I mean, what can I say about it that hasn't been said already? Just a tremendous match. The pacing, the athleticism, the story of the match itself, the heart, the physicality, just absolutely fantastic. Like, plain and simple, there's no need to rewrite the book here on this one. I think that what they did was accomplish what they set out to do while somehow still leaving room to tell a further story if they want to run this match back, perhaps when Ospreay wins the title or sometime just later this year. They do need to follow up on the story with Danielson. And, you know, I would have loved to hear what Ryan's thoughts on this match were. You know, I haven't got to talk to him too much because, you know, he's been sick. So, and I literally learned minutes before I was getting ready to go live that he wasn't going to be here. So that's why this show is kind of off the rails. It's going to be an hour. It's not going to be too long. I'm not going to go all by myself here for too long. But ultimately this match was, you know, tremendous. I don't really need to tell you guys that. And then the ladder match, I thought the ladder match was great too. And, you know, the moment of Jack Perry coming in was really the moment everyone was looking forward to, but they did such a great job at following up on the difficulties, you know, like the difficulties of following a Ospreay Danielson match isn't easy, right? It's not easy. I would argue it's very hard. But they did such a great job at getting the crowd back into it and delivering a great ladder match while also delivering the great swerve of Jack Perry that got such a great reaction. And then the main event, Swerve Strickland defeating Samoa Joe. It was all about the moment here. All about the moment. And I thought the moment was great. Swerve deserves to be AEW World Champion. This is a guy that I have believed in for a very long time. I have been invested in this guy since, you know, he debuted in NXT as Isaiah Swerve Scott, and he was just a cruiserweight in their realm. You know, I think, can you do my Jack Perry footage victory lap for me? Ryan, I will. I'll do my best when we get to the Tony Khan thing. Ryan is in the chat, so hello, Ryan. I appreciate that. But I thought the match did a great job. I thought the Jack Perry moment was a great job. So, and then, of course, like I said, Swerve Samoa Joe did exactly what it needed to do. And that was, of course, put Swerve over in the end. Looking forward to his reign. Now let's talk about the Tony Khan Jack Perry angle, because I think that is really where I can give Ryan his victory. Ryan was always under the belief that it was good to show the footage because of the story for Jack Perry and so on and so forth, right? You play to the Punk and FTR relationship, and right, and you try to think, like, why would it make sense for them to use this in that story? And it had an emphasis even more so when Perry was the one to cost FTR in the end, while also aligning himself with the Elite. For that, the video worked to perfection, and that's why they played the video. And of course, on Wednesday, Jack Perry, the Young Bucks, and Okada, even though Okada was just, you know, very funny, they took out Tony Khan, which of course has got a lot of coverage this week. That was a very good angle because it leaves you wondering what is next, right? That's the type of angle you do. It is a hot shot type of angle, right? You know, we're watching AEW in real time, obviously try to get viewers and keep interest in a time where the company isn't necessarily hot for everyone. It's hot for me. I think it's been pretty great for all 4 months of this year, But that's the type of angle they're doing. And they're using that footage that we saw to build this story. And obviously it was Tony Khan that suspended Jack Perry, and Jack Perry has been gone for so many months. So to see where this goes next, that's kind of the way I'm looking at this angle. I don't have an opinion on whether or not it's good yet. Like, if the whole angle will be good, the angle itself was interesting, and that alone makes it, I think, a good thing to have happened. It's all about the follow-up. Obviously, Tony Khan wearing the neck brace at the NFL draft was very entertaining, but it's all about the follow-up. But Ryan always said that, you know, the footage was a good idea, and it worked out. It worked out, at least for Jack Perry, it's worked out very, very well. And, you know, he feels destined to potentially main event Double or Nothing against Swerve Strickland. So that should be interesting. I don't know if that'll be the case yet. I still think Anarchy in the Arena is something that they might want to do with the Elite, but I don't know. I think Swerve getting that challenge Jack Perry getting that challenge against Swerve would be at least very intriguing, because Swerve did go out there on Collision last night and, you know, call them cowards and for attacking Tony Khan. So it'll be very interesting to see how this has followed up on Dynamite when they next make an appearance. Now we move forward, because, like I said, this is a little bit off the rails, but let's talk a little All-Star Grand Queendom. Obviously, I have reviewed this show. I reviewed the show yesterday, but I will give some of my thoughts for those who may tune into this show and not my Joshi only show. A very good effort from Stardom that really doesn't shock me to any bit, because Stardom's roster is one of the very best, and they always go out there and deliver. Now, the card itself and how we got there, I've been talking about time and time and time again. I have my thoughts about that, and I still think that it could have been a better card, right? Like, Shuri is in a trios match where she essentially is there just to do that. I always want Shuri in bigger matches. But I think it's okay that, you know, most of this show had purpose. Like, most of this show did have reasoning. So let's talk about it. Rena versus Sayaka Carrara, another good, fine defense for Rena. It didn't hit the high levels of, say, the Sayaka Carrara. I'm sorry, she was facing Sayaka Carrara. The Yuzuki match, or the Amasaki match, or the Muran match, which have been the past three. But it was in the middle. It was solid enough. I think Carrara is showing that potential that we all want to see. But that's, you know, that was my first feeling. Shuri Konami, Ami Sarai versus Zena, Waka Tsukiyama, and Hanako. That was as basic as I'd expect. This was a match to highlight the return of Konami, who of course will be back full time now with the company. So, harmless match. Saki Kashima, Saya Kamatani, Saida, and Fugiki Death for the high speed championship. This, I thought, accomplished the right thing, and that is get the high speed title onto Saya Kamatani. Create something very interesting, obviously. How did you, Ryan, you are one of a kind. You are sick at home and you are sending questions. Oh, this is a Ryan prepared questions. Oh, because, you know, we do a podcast together. I will answer that in a second. Saya Kamatani as high speed champion is very exciting, very intriguing to me. It's a chance to elevate that title and elevate it against potentially other participants that not necessarily known for high speed, right? That's the purpose of putting the belt on Saya to begin with. I always thought Kamatani could be a great high speed champion, so I have no problem with her winning this. Is the title beneath her now? Yes, it is, but it's okay because I do think that she is going to do her best to elevate it, and it won't really matter. You know, sometimes you want to put stars at the top, and she is a star that is at the top. We had Mia Shirakawa versus Natsuko Tora. This match was just an angle. I have said this. My feeling on the AEW side of things when it comes to Stardom is you should have put showcase matches out there for both Azumi and Mia Shirakawa. I thought that's what they were doing here with Mina, but it was used to get Tekla back into the fold. Tekla would, of course, hit Mina Shirakawa with the Natsuko Tora pipe, and she would ultimately go on to do a promo later where she said her plan is to eradicate the idol culture in Stardom. She named Natsupoi Tam Nakano and then said, first and foremost, Mina Shirakawa. So Ryan's favorite wrestler returns to Stardom, that being Tekla. So I know there's... Hello, Colin. Thank you for joining me. Colin, I am so glad SOK is no longer with the Wato Tai. We will get to that. I am actually in agreement with you. So welcome to the show. Again, anyone that may have gotten to this point, you could be live. You could have skipped the first few minutes. I don't know. Ryan is sick. Ryan is not here. I am going solo for the first time ever on Ring Post Radio. Hopefully the last time ever. But yeah, we are doing what we do. And, you know, this is the most nonchalant, unorganized show in the history of Ring Post Radio. So thank you for joining me. Let's get to the next match. It was Aja Kong, Akira Ito defeating Meltier's Tam Nakano, Natsupoi. When Aja Kong pinned Tam to get the win. The way I look at this match is quite simple. It was better than I expected. Is that a good thing? I don't know. You know, I'm not really sure. It was better because I thought Meltier was on another level in this match. They were selling like crazy. So, like, that helped. But in the end, they still lost. The only, like, the bright side of this match is that it was Tam that got pinned, not Natsupoi, because Natsupoi can't be taking that loss right now. And we saw why in the end of the show. However, Aja Kong pinning Tam, it's not going to hurt Tam at all because she's Tam. Two, it's Aja Kong. I just wanted the people that are part of the starting roster to win. This is how I feel towards any company that brings in the legends. Ito was far better than I expected. But Colin, I appreciate you coming. Listen. I was late to start the show anyways, so I appreciate you joining. But with Ito, you know, I expect one thing always in her matches in the year 2024. But she did a lot. She did a lot more than I ever expected, so I do appreciate that. And now let's get to one of the big matches here. It was Crazy Star, Suzuki and Mei Sara, successfully defending the Goddesses of Stardom Championships against FWC, Hazuki and Koguma, O2 Line, Azumi and Miyu Amasaki, as well as Starlight Kid and Ruaka. Great match. This was the high speed match of the show. And I had high hopes for this match once it was announced. And once I settled in that I wasn't getting FWC versus Crazy Star straight up, which we are getting next weekend. So that's okay. It was great. Like Suzu, Mei Sara hit her new finisher, which is a like float over crucifix bomb. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. She's one of the very best. You know, Azumi was great. Everyone was just great in this match. Like, everyone had a moment to shine. There were so many near falls. So great from start to finish. Exactly what you wanted to see from these four teams. I have allergies. I apologize if I sneeze or something. I am fighting through it right now. I am doing my best. So a great match. Suzu and May, I don't want them to lose this title anytime soon, truthfully. I just think they're so fantastic. So with that, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Let's talk about the post-match. Post-match is the most important part. FWC does challenge Crazy Star to a match because they were not in the finish. It was Ruaka who got pinned. And then after that, Ruaka beats down Starlight Kid, which means we are back to babyface SLK. I think it's good. Like, listen, the term was very out of nowhere. Like, I understand Tam has been whispering in the ear of Starlight Kid for weeks, but it was very out of nowhere. And while I didn't love, like, it was such a simple turn, it was like, whatever. The importance is SLK is back to being babyface, where she rightfully belongs. That's what matters most to me. Well, to be fair, I'm not sick. It's just allergies. So you're still the one that's allowed to be sick, Ryan. Don't you worry. Allergies suck. I sympathize. Thank you, Colin. They're killing me. But I fight through. So SLK is getting beat down. Tam makes the save and pretty much just sits there. Like, you guys remember when Eddie Kingston ran out to save John Moxley from the explosion and then they looked really dumb because the explosion was bad? That's pretty much what Tam did, except they were just getting kicked and then Oedo Tai left. And then she did the ear whisper thing and then they left. Starlight Kid will be teaming with Tam like 20 times this week for Golden Week. So it's going to be interesting to see how that story plays out. Essentially, Cosmic Angels could be adding the most popular wrestler in Stardom that isn't already in the group. That's just unfair. Next up, we have Mayu Iwatani versus Sari. Tremendous match. Fantastic match. Just one of my absolute favorites of the year. You know, I knew getting Ospreay and Danielson 1 week, and then this week, it was just, it's what we watch. Two of my favorite matches I've watched, probably my top two of the year. Just absolutely tremendous. You know, eventually Mayu flipped a switch, and that was the difference. You know, Sari was challenging her to fight back and show something. And it was such a simple yet great story for this match, because the story they had established going into this is that it was very one-sided. And Sari was the one that was confident. Mayu was the one that was like, you know, I don't know how to feel about finally having to face her. And once Mayu snapped, it went from great to special. She slapped Sari across the face, and this went from being a match to a fight. Ultimately, it was Mayu in the end getting the win following a moonsault in the Dragon Suplex hold. They're going to need to run it back again and again and again and again. I don't know where, I don't know when, but I need it to be run back. Fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. She whispered into the ear of SLK's mask, not her actual ear. That's a very good pop. That's a very good point, Colin. I appreciate that. That popped me good. So great match. And Tsukasa Fujimoto comes down to the ring. If you've never seen Tsukasa Fujimoto wrestle, you should. She's fantastic, and she challenged Mayu to a tag team match where it'll be Tsukasa and Arisa Nakajima against Mayu and a partner of her choosing. That's just incredible. It's incredible. That's going to be one of the best tag team matches of the year. I don't even care who the partner is. The partner is either going to be Hanan, Hazuki, or my pick, Shuri. I want it to be Shuri because that's just a super duper tag match, but we'll have to wait and see. Sari Ano versus Hanan. Hanan should have won. An incredible performance from the 19-year-old phenom. Just fantastic. She showcases time and time again why she's in the spot that she is. Just such an incredible wrestler. The best Ano defense, I think, or really match for a title so far. I thought this was great. I was just devastated by the finish. And after the match, Natsupoi finally stepped up. It will be Ami Sarai versus Natsupoi in a number one contenders match. And the winner of that will go to Flashing Champions 2024 in May to face Sayori for the gold. So that should be very good. Say, Natsupoi better win. And the main event, Maika versus Momo Watanabe, three falls match. I just wish we didn't do this. You know, like, I just wish we didn't do the three falls. The first fall was really good. Second fall was okay, very plodding. And the third fall just made sure it all fell apart in the end for me because the ending was so boring. It was just a Michinoku driver that Momo couldn't get up from. It was clear that they ran out of ideas. And I don't blame them for this match not hitting to the levels that I know that these two can hit. I really don't, because they put in the work for this match. It just wasn't the plan.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Colin, so we are not getting a Mayu versus Tsukasa Fujimoto IWGP match, or will that be down the line? I'm thinking, hear me out here, let me know if you think this is good. I think this is where we're going. I talked about this a little bit on my live review yesterday. I think the plan is to do the best friends match and then have someone either have Tsukasa pin Mayu to set up the IWGP title match. I think that is a fine result to get there, because I think they should run that match. And Connor, hopefully we get Sereno versus Hazuki. Obviously, we'd love that. Send Mike and Momo to Arena Mexico for some three fall lessons. Listen, if it was this two out of three falls match with no random stipulations, I think they would have done much better. But yeah, let's send them to Arena Mexico. I'm always for that. But the match, you know, it wasn't the ending to this show that I wanted, especially after how great the tag was and the Mayu Sari match and the Sayori Hanan match. Just upsetting, but is what it is. We move on. And that, I guess, is your All-Star Grand Queendom review. But Ryan's prepared question for me: how missed were the Marigold jumped wrestlers from this first major Stardom show? For me, I think I'm still getting around to the point of no Utami and Julia specifically. They just added, they were so important, and like them not being here is very felt, because last year Julia obviously was in the main event of this show. And Utami was in a special tag that featured Fuwa-chan, which was really good. There are very missed. Like, losing the Marigold crew is being felt, I think. Because, yes, they signed Konami, but I don't think Konami, obviously, is at the level of those two. So, very much missed. But they did the best they could at the end of the day. But a very good show from Stardom. They're back on pay-per-view technically next weekend with a main event of Crazy Star versus FWC for the Goddesses title. That's a mini Fukuoka show. It's not as big as the past few years, but nonetheless, they'll be back on pay-per-view. I don't remember what else I'm supposed to talk about on this show. Oh, WWE Backlash. Look at that. It says in the top corner. All right. Don't, Ryan, don't get mad at me that I wasn't prepared. But let's get to it. WWE Backlash in France. I can't tell you the last time. I think the last time we talked about WWE was WrestleMania. WrestleMania, right? In my opinion, no sorry would have made the show real rough. I agree. I agree, Ryan. No sorry. Yeah. Yeah, if there's no sorry Mayu match, this show is very much a letdown compared as well. Anything compared to last year's, but like if they don't have that match, then it is missing this big time match. You're talking Triple Mania. No. No, I'm not. No, I'm not, Ryan. I appreciate you sick in bed going out of your way to still give me the comments. I very much appreciate that. But no, I'm not talking about Triple Mania. You can talk about Triple Mania when you return to the show, okay? You're welcome. I didn't know the Backlash card until right now. Not going to lie to you, folks. It doesn't look too bad. So we got the first match will be the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. It's different. I'm going to guess Jade and Bianca are winning. I would be shocked if they weren't. I just hope the match is good, truthfully. Like, I hope the match is good. Is that too? I don't think that's too much to ask. I think Asuka and Kairi can do a very good job at selling for Jade. And Bianca is obviously great. I think that goes without saying. So I think we are definitely getting new champions. Colin, I thought the idea from Star was not to do so many pay-per-views. Sure, like they're not keeping to the play. So, Colin, they're doing live shows now that are like house shows, but they're putting them on pay-per-views if they have title matches. So it's like a very weird system that they're doing. It's not like they're not doing as many big pay-per-view shows, but they are putting shows on pay-per-view. That makes sense. I have confused myself saying that. So, like, but I know what you're saying. Having to pay extra money is not necessarily, you know, what we're trying to do here. But back to Backlash in France. Yeah, I see. Jade and Bianca do not have a tag team. So I think they're going to win, obviously. We'll have Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. You know, this worked out. I watched SmackDown this week. I don't remember what made me do it. Oh, maybe the draft part. But I saw the beatdown. I saw the Kevin Owens spot and this and how this came about. I think this is a fine first match for the Tama Tonga Solo Sikoa run bloodline. It's very weird. Talk about Tama Tonga, by the way, in WWE. Just hope everyone knows that. It's really weird seeing him on this match graphic as well. But that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. I think that this match will be interesting. I'm not going to say good. I don't think it's necessarily going to be good. But I'm very interested to see how Tama Tonga wrestles in WWE. I can't see like his style change all too much. But I've seen him wrestle as a babyface for so long now. So from that point of view, I'm very interested to see what they do. I do expect the Bloodline to, of course, win here and maybe have Jacob Fatu cost Randy and Kevin the match. I think that's a possibility. You got Teratara is not facing evil. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's facing Randy Orton, who is in that WWE Evil series. On Peacock. No. I thought that was pretty good segue there. Heard Jacob Fatu's head to WWE. I have heard the same. I think that's the plan. So why not debut him here? There's only 5 matches on this card. They should keep it that way. This show is also at 1 p.m. Eastern next Saturday. So Bayley defends the what is this title called? The WWE Women's Championship. I didn't know if it was the World of Women. I'm not going to lie. Against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. Hot take. Tiffany Stratton should win. This is the Ring Post Radio is a pro Tiffany Stratton podcast. She's great. She's great. I know she's not going to win. I know Bailey's going to win. But, you know, I think Tiffany Stratton is very, very good. And when she gets her first singles match for the belt, I think that's when she'll win. In all actuality, I think Bailey is doing just fine as champion. I don't see a reason to take it off. This show is going to be a 4-hour show with 1 hour of wrestling. And you're going to love it. Or not watch it live and skip through the commercials. Ever think about that, Ryan? You don't have to watch it live. It's actually great. The one time I watched that Australian one, after I skipped right through, it was 1 hour show. Beautiful. Perfect. But yeah, I'm sure Bailey will win. I don't know. Hopefully Tiffany shows out. That's kind of my hope for that match. Oh God. Yeah. Damian Priest versus main event Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. This is when I press the button. I agree, Connor. Tiffany shouldn't take the pin. And Ryan hit us with the yeet. Jey Uso versus Damian Priest. Should have been Bad Bunny. Remember 1 year ago at Backlash? That was Damian Priest versus Bad Bunny. They should do that again. That was good. This? Listen, I like main event Jey Uso. But after that match with Jimmy, I'm not feeling great about it. I think this is not going to be anything special. I think it's very clear that Damian Priest is going to win. So it is what it is. And then, you know, they'll probably put Jey Uso back into the Bloodline storyline. And we'll move on. I know they're both on the different shows, but, you know, they don't care about that. They're going to break that eventually. Jey Uso was the first pick for Raw the other day, and I found that very funny. Anyone else find that funny? Maybe they didn't even watch, but I did find that funny. Stinky poo-poo garbage per Ryan. That is the official take on Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. Stinky poo-poo garbage from Ryan. See, this is how I have my co-host. I just say his comments. I think that's great. And the main event, presumably, will be the undisputed WWE champion Cody Rhodes defending his title for the first time against AJ Styles. I have talked a lot on this show about how much AJ Styles, he's not that guy anymore. Big yuck. I don't know how this match interests me personally, beyond like AJ just really surprising me. It'll be a fine, like I'm expecting a fine 3-star match and we move on. Cody's got his first defense. Is that fair? I think that's very fair. Cody wins, France celebrates. That's where I'm at with that show. And you know what? That's okay. I don't need it to be an all-timer. I would love it to be an all-timer, but I don't expect it to be an all-timer. And that's really how I'm feeling. Anyways, I'm done with WWE. I'll be back next week. I have no idea if Ryan's going to be back. But I'll be back, and I'll be prepared with a guest, if that's the case, to review WWE Backlash France 2024. That'll be a lot of fun. Maybe. Probably not. Let's talk New Japan. Speaking of promotions that are doing great. Let's talk New Japan Pro Wrestling. They have multiple shows this week. They have Wrestling Satsuma no Kuni on Monday, and then of course Wrestling Dontaku on Friday and Saturday. So we're going to preview those shows, then we're going to preview All Together, and then we're going to get the hell out of here because I'm dying from my allergies and I'm all by myself. Not that recording by myself is difficult, but I don't go much more than an hour by myself. I appreciate anyone that has been watching along the way, especially because how unprepared I am. But let's get into New Japan Pro Wrestling. By the way, Yuji Uemura is now the KOBW champion. He won a title before Yota Tsuji and Shota Umino. Can't tell you I expected that one. But he beat Great O'Connor. So, whatever. But it's funny to think about. This show on Monday, let me reread, Satsuma no Kuni has two junior title matches. The first is Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi challenging the War Dogs, Clark Connors, and Drilla Maloney for the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles. How do I say this? There's no chance that I think Hiromu and Bushi are winning this. I think, you know, the whole story right now for Hiromu heading into the Best of the Super Juniors is that he can't win. He can't buy a win. And this is another big match where I expect him to fall. Maybe he gets a Drilla Killer or whatever the hell Clark Connors' finisher is called. Whatever that may be, this is a match that is happening, and they're not winning. So if you're a War Dogs fan, it's a good day for you. I am not. In the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match, Sho will defend for the second time against Doki. You know, I know Ryan. If Ryan was here, Ryan would be cheering for Doki, so I will only do the same, and I'll hit you with the hot take. Doki should win. Maybe that's not a hot take, but Doki should win over our House of Torture guy show because the Doki Chokey, I don't know. I just like Doki. I think he should win. I think he should get a run with this belt. If we're just giving them away, I think he should get a run. Yeah, Ryan Doki should win. This is about you, Amar. He beat Great Okan by eating lemons fast. Great lemon eating fundamentals. And then he sings the song, I don't believe in you, Amar. You're welcome for that. That is the entertainment I'm trying to bring to this show. I hope I did it good. My voice cracked a little, but it's okay. It's okay. But that is the Satsuma no Kuni show, two junior matches to talk about, because I guess Dontaku didn't want any big junior matches. I don't know the cards. Give me a second. But Wrestling Dontaku on Friday, May 3rd. By the way, if anyone hasn't figured out, this upcoming week is Golden Week in New Japan Pro, in Japan, but for New Japan Pro Wrestling, that's why they have so many big shows. It is Golden Week in Japan, which means so many big shows from every Japanese pro wrestling company. Altogether is not this Monday, but next Monday. And we'll be talking about Wrestle Magic, like I said. So wait for that. This show has a lot of because Wrestling Dotaku is broken into two shows. They have a ton of undercard tags here, but we'll talk about the big three. First up is Zack Sabre Jr. defending the New Japan World TV Championship against Jeff Cobb again. I think this is the third time they've done this title match. I'd like if Jeff Cobb won, just because I want Zack to do more than have to hold this title. But I'm sure Zack will win. This is the role they've put Zach in, and I've accepted it. Special singles match will be Yota Tsuji versus David Finlay. This is the Ryan Knightsey match of the week waiting to happen. Ryan's not here to defend himself, so I can say that. David Finlay, I think he's gonna win. One, Yota Tsuji loses a lot. Two, David Finlay obviously trying to get back on the winning track after he had to miss the New Japan Cup, which we expected for him to be in the finals and potentially face Yota Tsuji. So I expect David Finlay to get the win here and give him momentum heading into a likely IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match. And that brings us to the main event for the IWGP Global Heavyweight title match. Ever since winning the title back at the New Beginning in somewhere I don't remember which one. Nick Nemeth will finally defend his title against Hiroshi Tanahashi. I'm sure Hiroshi Tanahashi is not winning this match. So that's a Nick Nemeth match win if I've ever seen one. The most wanted man. Can't discount possible Jake Lee involvement in Finlay and Tsuji. Oh, but I can because I want to. You're right. But listen, just because you want Jake Lee and David Finlay to wrestle with Yota Tsuji doesn't mean I do. That's what I'm reading, Ryan. That's what you're saying. You want Jake Lee versus Yota Tsuji tomorrow. And It's fine. Let's get, Nick Nemeth wins, by the way. I'm sure we set up the David Finlay match for Resurgence. I don't think it's on Resurgence, actually. Probably for Dominion. Yeah, probably for Dominion. That would make the most sense, I guess. The next day, we have another show full of tag team matches. Some of them look interesting. We have Doki and Yuu Uemura versus Francesco Akira and Great Okan. That is not one of the interesting ones, but I read it anyways. Kosei Fujita and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Callum Newman and Jeff Cobb. Nick Nemeth and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Taichi and Sonata. Is that bad audio that I just did the Jake Lee gunpoint when Ryan did it? Yes. Do I feel bad? No. It was necessary. It was necessary. Had to do it. And let's get to the important matches. IWGP to act. Oh my God. Why? Why are we doing this again? The Bishamon defending the titles against Chase Owens and Kenta. Why? That sucks. I'm not going to sugarcoat that one. That is not good. No, I will not be watching that. Ryan, you better be 100% healthy next week because I need someone else to watch that match. Shingo Takagi versus Gabe Kidd. Gabe Kidd also challenging for the New Japan Strong title. At Resurgence against Eddie Kingston. I think Gabe Kidd loses this match. I would like if we could just let Shingo ride with the Never Open Weight title for a little bit, please. He just got it back finally. So I think Shingo should win. I think Shingo will win. And your main event, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. It will be John Moxley making his second defense of the world title since winning it at Windy City Riot, and he'll defend it against House of Torture's own Ren Narita. Moxley's winning. I'm very interested in seeing John Moxley have to wrestle the match of House of Torture. I kind of find it interesting to see how that would go. I don't know if it'll be good, but it's interesting nonetheless. So that's my feeling on that. All right. Now let's get to our final preview of the show. Again, thank you anyone that's listening, whether this be post or with me here. Obviously a lot going on. We're heading over to the Ryogoku Sumo Hall for Wrestle Magic 2024. This show actually looks like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to this show. If you already have Wrestle Universe, you should get an email that comes with a discount to buy the pay-per-view because it is a pay-per-view show. And it looks really good. I don't know. It looks really good. I am doing everything in my power not to sneeze right now, if you can't tell. So let's get into it, as Ryan would say. Let's get into it. The opening match for this show is expected to be Nagisa Nozaki, the Great Sakuya, Miyuki Takase and Takumi Aroha against the Marigold Four of Mai Sakurai, Mirai, Julia, and Utami Hayashishita. Obviously, I am very excited for this. I have gone long enough without watching Utami wrestle. I have gone long enough without watching any of them wrestle, to be fair. Is this the fourth or fifth? What day is this show? This show is the fourth. I believe this is the same day that the first Marigold card will be revealed in full. So that's something to look forward to as well. Anyways, I'll continue here. I'm really looking forward to this match. This is really the first match of Marigold. And I'm very excited to see what they do. I'm hoping, I'm feeling that Nozaki, Sakuya, well, Azuriko Kawada, Takase, and Takumi could all be involved in Marigold when that time comes around. I have no doubt that Marigold's winning here, but as someone that is as excited like I am for the new promotion, I'm really looking forward to seeing what these four do. This is one of the unique times that Julia and Utami are teaming up. So if you need a selling point for that, that is this match. Should be very good. There's a lot of great talent in this match. I have high hopes as long as they get the right time, which, you know, Noah has often given these folks the right amount of time when the women get on these big shows. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a JHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Title match as it's a survival three-way. This should be pretty good. It is Yohei and Tadasuke defending against Shuji Kondo and X, as well as Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf. So Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf going up and down in the divisions. Obviously, they're great. Obviously, I love them. I'm going to guess we get new champions here. Maybe Kondo and whoever X is. I don't know who X is. Maybe someone from Dragon Gates. That's the beauty of Wrestle Magic, is it's always a mystery. So I'm wondering who it will be. I think there's some exciting options out there. Again, I'm really looking forward to the show. Kind of want to watch it live. It'll be my first Noah show live. There's not that many matches on the card, so I don't think it would be too bad. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Kondo and X. Why not? There's a reason to have an X. I'm just saying. We have a GHC tag title match. It will be Jack Morris and Anthony Green defending once again in an open challenge. We don't know who they're facing. I'm going to pick the mystery people to win here. I think the mystery people win. I think that's the point of this. I think that's a good swerve for this show to make people want to watch another Wrestle Magic pay-per-view. Like, oh, you know, we have the mysteries and they can win. You know, I'm all in on the mystery people. That's the beauty of the magic, you know. We have Daga defending the GHC Junior Heavyweight title against Alejandro. I'm pretty confident Daga wins. That is all. Ninja Mac defends the GHC Hardcore Championship against Shuji Ishikawa. I'm pretty confident Shuji Ishikawa is winning this. He might destroy Ninja Mac. Either way, I think it's going to be very entertaining. You know, it may not, I don't know how good the match will be, but I think I'll be very entertained. And ultimately, that's all I'm looking for here. And in your main event, this match, I am so hyped for. Between this and the Marigold tag, this is why I'm watching this show. Aljo Dr. Wagner Jr. will defend the GHC heavyweight title against Kaito Kiyomiya, Sumo Hall. Kaito Kiyomiya, I'll say it here. I haven't got to say it before on this show. Kaito Kiyomiya is so many levels above, I think, everyone in Puro right now. He just feels like he's on another stratosphere. He is delivering no matter the match. His charisma is out of this world. He is just fantastic. And I think it's time for Noah to re-crown their ace as champion. Because Kaito, he's on fire. Do not mess it up. I think this is the time. You make people want to watch Wrestle Magic moving forward. The world title can be changed. It's so simple. And this is their biggest match. This is the biggest match they have right now for the GHC heavyweight title. I am very much hoping that it is Kaito Kiyomiya that brings it home. I think this is a way to really inspire some fun in Noah with Kaito on top. I'm just really loving what he's doing. So that is the preview for Wrestle Magic 2024. This live this coming Saturday. Surely there'll be some more mysteries. We will be back to review that next week. But yeah, that's it. That's it. Just shy of an hour for Ring Post Radio. I know a lot of people love the 2+ hours, and I do too, but I was not getting there by myself, kind of winging it here. But I appreciate everyone listening. I appreciate anyone that listened to me all alone. Kind of unexpected, but we got through it. Ring Post Radio will be back next week sometime, presumably back on Sundays at 9:30. If it's not Ryan, there will be a guest this time around. But thank you so much for listening. Check out the Count Out Patreon. You can check out the ballot. I don't have the entire link memorized like Ryan does, sadly. But make sure to check that out. Check out Stardom Road. Check out all the great podcasts here on the Count Out Podcast Network. Match of the week. I got to have a match of the week that I didn't talk about, right? Let's go with Titans versus Mascara Dorada versus Magnus from CMLL's Arena Mexico 68th anniversary show on Friday. I think that will be the match of the week for me. Ryan, oh, new Patreon show. The best of the Super Juniors. Third episode out today. Check it out now. Patreon.com/countout. I don't know it. Go to the Countout Twitter. That's your best bet to find that. I got close though, right? Third episode of today, best of Super Juniors, the ballot, and so much other great content over on the Patreon. Follow me at Scott E Wrestling on Twitter. Follow Ryan at Ryan Knightsy on Twitter. Follow the entire podcast network at Countout Pod. That's it. It's at Countout Pod. Make sure you check that all out. All right. See you later. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. This is Ring Post Radio. We'll be back next week. Until next time, see ya!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This has been a Count Out Podcast. Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of potential inductees. And on our new Count Out Patreon series titled The Ballot, it's our job to discuss whether or not these newbies should become Hall of Fame wrestlers. Hello, my name is Ryan Knightsy, and every month, a guest and I will analyze the regional careers of newly balloted wrestlers for the Observer Hall of Fame. Are they day one votes? Do they belong at all? Find out on the ballot every month on patreon.com/countoutpod. Again, check out the ballot on patreon.com/countoutpod. We hope to see you there.